You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and around the world at kfai.org, where community grows.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we got Sean Sherman coming up next, and then Bob Blake, who's mobile, and he'll be on the phone and be talking about how we are feeling about what's going on here politically. You know, we're not happy, and we really feel like the Democrats, a few of the Democrats have really done us wrong. One of the things I want to bring up in a positive note, too, is I got to meet Leonard Peltier this past weekend, got to interview him. That interview will come up this week sometime. Also, huge news, too. Bernie Sanders has endorsed Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanigan, and let me tell you, I'm very excited about that. And, you know, I also love the fact that Trump was booed in Washington, the commanders, and again, we fought for a long time to get that name changed, but it was really interesting that the football fans are not happy with him, and so I got a clip here I wanted to play in a few minutes here of Leonard Peltier talking about partially talking about the day that he found out he was released. And I have to make sure there's a F-bomb in there that I have to delete. So pod down. So I have to pay attention there. But again, you know, the eight members of the Democrat caucusing group in the United States voted in favor of advancing the stopgap funding bill. And this has been our really big problem here with the Democrats. They have no backbone. They have no leadership. Chuck Schumer, you need to go. You know, I'm throwing this idea out there before there's a guarantee or a firm commitment of extending the Affordable Care Act tax credits is ridiculous because we know the Republicans are not going to do anything. I'll be shocked if they do anything. And so really, really, really upset, you know. We understand, you know, that, you know, the airlines are going to be air traffic and air travel's messed up, you know, SNAP benefits. And I think some of the states have been trying to take care of that, even though Trump has, you know, put up there that, you know, it's not gonna be happening. He blocked our Governor Evers, and the Supreme Court is, of course, on his side and has put a pause to some of the judges ruling that they should get the SNAP benefits to the people that need it. Again, I, you know, we're gonna have Bob Blake on later. We got Sean Sherman on, and I just want to you know, maybe change up just a little bit, because we'll be talking deeply on that. And we're going to also talk to Sean about a big hoop to do that's happening, and we're really excited to be a part of with his cookbook being opened up. So I want to play this, and I also want to be very careful, because in the very beginning there's a swear word. So, but this is Leonard Peltier at the Minneapolis Indian Center this past week, who spoke on the day that how he felt as the day for his chance for him to be removed. And then there's another speaker talking about that we never gave up. So it'll speak for itself. And again, this is Leonard Peltier, and I want to share this with everybody. So let's take a quick listen here. Not to be working here. I have this muted, so now I'm going to unmute it.
Well, let me out. I was getting sick. I could feel it. My body was, I was falling all the time and stuff like this. I thought, that's all there is to it. I ain't going to make it. And so I had this Muslim brother come by, and he said, why don't you get out of the bed, man? And I said, I don't feel good. Just don't give up, Leonard. Don't give up. Then this guard came by. He said, Leonard, don't give up, man. So I was thinking, well, what the frick can I do now? And he's not going to sign this. So I called.
Oops, just a minute. I'm talking with the harp.
Let's do one more thing. Use your contacts under and go to Biden and tell Biden to give me commutation and home confinement. That's what I'm on right now. So she did, and that's what happened. Otherwise, I was dying. I really was. I mean, I knew I was dying. And I made it. But
just to add,
Nick Tilson.
The thing that made this latest effort, this final push, a little bit different, was that we made sure that the grassroots organizing that was happening on the ground and the ceremonies that were happening throughout Indian country was directly connected to the advocacy work, that we closed the gap between those things. And that was a huge factor, because this was not only a political battle, this was a spiritual battle. And that's why I always say that every single thing that everybody ever did in every spiritual circle, every ceremony, every fire that was ever lit, every inipi that was ever went into, every single one of those things contributed to this. And in this effort, there was so many people who were saying, hey, we're going into ceremony at the parole hearing. Hey, we're going into ceremony when you're going into these meetings. And so I want the people to know that as organizers, we worked really hard to close that gap between our ceremonies, grassroots organizing on the ground, and decisions that we're making, you know, at the highest levels of government, and that was a collective strategy, and there was cohesion behind it and intention.
Yeah, that was amazing. You know, what they were talking a little bit about is that Leonard had changed his mind in a sense of that that to go after it in a different way. And then the commute was that, you know, he has to stay within, I think, 100 miles of his home. And the only way he was here in Minneapolis is because there was a big spiritual religious ceremony, a big spiritual ceremony for him this past weekend. It was great to see him. I want to just say, too, it's been years of us ending the show with Free Leonard Peltier now. And I just want to give everyone a shout out that was behind that, and really we did that here on Native Roots Radio. I believe my uncle Curtis started that at the end of the show. And so we've been doing that. And Leonard knew about that. And And it was great. And that interview will be this week sometime. Just got to give a quick shout out to Patrick. I saw your message and I was playing this off my phone. So I was like, oh, I'm going to respond to you. And then it stopped the audio. So I'm a dumb dumb, but hopefully people got to hear Leonard and Indian Collective. Those guys were behind this big time and got to see the end of the documentary. I guess the documentary had three different endings and they wanted to get it to all the film competitions. And we got to see the ending of it. And it was an amazing documentary done by Native people. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, Sean Sherman.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today, to the ones who...
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Bobby Wilson. Wee-cha.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we're really always pleased to have our friend Sean Sherman on. Sean is a James Beard Award-winning Ogola Lakota chef and has written a book, Turtle Island, Foods and Traditions of the Indigenous Peoples of North America. And the cookbook will hit the bookshelves out on November 11th. Big Pini Gigi, thank you so much, as always, for coming on and talking to our listeners.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
The big events coming up, let's talk about those. There's one coming up very, very soon. And again, really excited. And let's talk a little bit about the book and this event.
All righty. Yeah, I mean, book is live on November 11th, which is tomorrow morning. So it's been a long time in the making. And, you know, so much went into that book of trying to showcase North America without colonial lines, you know, taking away the U.S.-Mexico border and the Canadian border, and just looking at everywhere from Mexico through Alaska, trying to highlight and just kind of showcase all this diversity that we have through food, through culture. And there's so much baked into that book.
Yeah, you've collected over 100 ancestral and modern recipes. Let's talk about who you've gotten that from.
Well, you know, a lot of this work has come from the past, you know, since I started the Sous Chef in 2014 and even a little bit before that, of just kind of traveling around, you know, Turtle Island with an indigenous lens, you know, with an eye for the food of, you know, what's our food systems, and talking with all the various communities, you know, and what people still have today for traditional foods, you know, what people are kind of pushing forward with today, you know, and for me, just like, you know, creating my own philosophy around how I was approaching indigenous foods, you know, up to the creation of the Sous Chef and creation of Awamini and the nonprofit natives and all this work that's out there of just trying to open up doors for us in the future, you know, especially just trying to, you know, normalize seeing more native foods out there, just trying to create access to indigenous foods, finding more ways to see indigenous foods in more restaurants and, you know, in some of our food services like schools and hospitals and universities and things like that. And this book, I think, will just be a massive resource for people to kind of look at the foods of the Americas completely differently. And we'll see what happens. But there's a lot of energy building up behind this.
Yeah, there is. And I just got to give you a quick shout out too. I was at an event this weekend at the Indian Center, and your truck was out there, and just delicious. And I want to say not only healthy, but I'm trying to think of the word that I'm looking for. It's clean food, you mm-hmm. know, and that's what's really important. You know, again, what you've been doing these past years has just been phenomenal. And then you have a new restaurant opening up soon. And but that's focused on that. And also this great event that you're going to have.
Yeah, I mean, the food is great. I mean, that's part of the other piece that we're trying to do is just normalize healthy indigenous foods out there, you know. So when we removed colonial European ingredients and took away dairy and wheat flour and cane sugar, like, it just makes everything so much clean, like you said. And you notice that if you go to Ouamani, you know, and you sit down and you have a big meal, like, you don't walk out of there feeling like crap afterwards. You know, you feel strong and you feel good, and it's energy food. And that's what we want to normalize, is just finding more paths for that, of just saying, you know, what's possible with modern indigenous foods moving forward. And, you know, we're lucky we live in such an amazing space with so many just cool people doing cool stuff, you know. And there's the food scene, especially the indigenous food scene, has really been exploding over the years. And we're just happy to be a part of all that.
Yeah, definitely. And this event coming up, this book signing event, let's talk a little bit about that. That's sounds like my kind of jam.
Yeah, we're going to do a full stage show at the Guthrie, you know, which is also the future home of Ouamani here coming up this spring. And we're just really excited because we're having some special guests. We're going to have Trish Cook, which I know a lot of people know around town. She's an amazing person. We just got confirmation that Bobby Wilson's going to be joining us on stage also. Which is going to be a lot of fun. We'll have myself, of course. We have Kate Nelson. We have my partner, Mecca Boss, who's also going to be just talking with us. And we also have the editor of the cookbook, Francis Lamb, who's also, some people might know him from Splendid Table after Lynn Rosetta stepped aside. And so Francis Lamb is a big personality, and he's going to be talking us through because, you know, he edited the book and was a part of the team also in that sense of things. But we're going to bring the whole team and forward, because we have Kristen and Kate. So Kristen Donnelly and Kate Nelson. And we also have the photographers, which are Jada Gray Eagle, who's also local, and David Alvarez, who's coming up from Mexico City to be a part of this. And then Tess Bushka and Mecca Boss, my partner, who did all of the recipe testing of that book over a year and a half. And so there was a lot, you know, it's a big push. It's a huge project to put together something like this. And you can see it when you feel, you know, when you hold the book in your hand, like it's pretty amazing to see the final physical form. And the artwork is beautiful. The photography is beautiful. There's so much in there. It's way more than just a cookbook. So yeah. So the Guthrie show is going to be cool. We're going to have some live music on stage. We're going to just be doing some fun stuff up there. People who pay for the VIP portion of it will get to hang out with us before the show. And we're going to have food by Ouamani. We're going to have a meet and greet with everybody who worked on the book. And we're just going to have a fun time. And we're going to be hosting that in the future restaurant space of Ouamani. But, you know, people who just want to come to the show, you know, the show is going to be starting around, you know, doors are open around 7, and pre-show will open around 5:30 that day on the 18th. And tickets are still available, and they're moving pretty fast, which is great. But we wanted to do something big. We wanted to launch something in style. And we're just excited to have a huge theater at the Guthrie to be able to host something fun.
And how can our listeners get tickets? Where can we go and get those?
People can visit my website, which is just my name. So it's just seansherman.com, and find a link to the tickets at Eventbrite. Or if they go to Eventbrite, they can just search up Sous Chef or my name, Sean Sherman, and you should be able to find it that way. You can also go to social medias. Like, if you're following us on Instagram, you can, you know, again, like, go to one of my pages, like the_Sue_chef, or just look me up and find me there. But yeah, tickets are available on Eventbrite. And, you know, reach out if you have trouble finding the links, and we'll point you in the right direction.
That's awesome. How exciting. And how many years did it take to get all this together? Because I know you also have another cookbook, too.
Well, I mean, the first cookbook obviously came out in much earlier, so that was live by the end of 2017, and started working on that at the end of 2014, really. And, you know, so that took a little bit of time. And that first book, you know, I just wanted to put something out there to use for education, because I was starting to go around doing public talks and talking at universities and tribal communities and putting on pop-up dinners all over the place, you know, and I just wanted something to carry around, just to kind of share this notion of this philosophy we created. created and featuring healthy and like super regional and, you know, just the style that we've done. And so that book was great. And that kind of took off on its own, you know, won a James Beard Award right away. And that book sold over 100,000 copies today so far. So it really, really took off. And then this next book was just kind of an evolution of wanting to talk about more, you know, and I always wanted to, you know, showcase this like all of North America and all that indigenous tapestry of diversity that's out there. And I think it's really poignant, especially as, you know, people are being dehumanized and harassed by our own government just because they're from Mexico or speaking Spanish, you know, and I'm able to tell people that, you know, English is also a foreign language in North America and that, you know, indigenous peoples exist all over the place and these colonial lines don't mean anything. Like we should be really focused on protecting our indigenous families and communities across borders and looking at North America completely differently through our indigenous lens, you know, and that's what I hope this book helps people see a little bit more clearly.
Wow, that's excellent. Sean, I got a question for you. Out of all the recipes that are in this new book, what's one of your favorites?
Oh, for me, the one that really touched me was just a simple one from like where I grew up around Pine Ridge. And it was just this Vapa Wahampi. And it's just like this really simple, like dried bison soup with timpsila and wild prairie turnips and wild prairie onions. And it was just like a really simple soup, but it just like, to me, it like couldn't taste more Lakota than that. just because it had all those components, you know, and it was beautiful. Like there's a really beautiful photo of that soup in the book and it's gorgeous. And so that was one that just touched me. But I feel like, you know, there's so many recipes from every region, East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, you know, Great Lakes, Great Plains, the Great Basin, you know, Southern Mexico, Northern Mexico, Alaska and Canada. Because this book's sold in Canada too at the same time. We sold it to both publishers in both countries, US and Canada. But I think people will probably scroll to their region first, and some of those recipes will have some deep meanings because we're using all sorts of plant diversities and protein diversities that people, you know, will connect with, especially from an indigenous perspective. And, you know, non-indigenous peoples, I think, will just, you know, have this resource to kind of look at North America differently and to kind of peer through as they're traveling around and you read about different histories and different foods from different regions.
Yeah, I know that'll be a big seller too to our white allies. They're always interested in what we're doing, and I know like with Owamni, there's still a waiting list to get in there, and it's just awesome that this is happening and that you're moving a restaurant and you're building another restaurant. I've just watched you grow so much from a food truck and to a great speaker. Seriously,
thanks.
It's been great. We got 30 seconds left here. What just give out the information again about November 18th.
Yeah, November 18th at the Guthrie. Look up Sous Chef on Eventbrite. Go to my website, seansherman.com, if you wanted to find the ticket links. But yeah, just hang out with us. We're going to have a really cool time. We're going to sign a ton of books. The bookstore, they'll be selling some. And get your copy of Turtle Island because it's live on the shelves tomorrow morning, November 11th.
Right on. Thank you so much, Sean Sherman. The sous chef would really appreciate you.
Awesome, Doksha.
Programming on KFAI is supported by Quit Partner. Quitting smoking or vaping is easier said than done. Quit Partner offers Minnesotans no-cost resources to quit nicotine, including patches, gum and lozenges, coaching, and digital support. More at quitpartnermn.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Bobby Wilson.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Halusa Nation.
Welcome back, everyone. State Representative Heather Keeler. Great news, and she's offered to talk to you guys and talk about this great news that's happening. Heather, I'm so excited. And excited for the state of Minnesota and for our country. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio.
Thanks. It's always, always, always so good to be here. And, you know, on a day like today, I've said this a lot of times in my journey. It's always good to kind of be with family, you know, when big things happen. And so, of course, making space for you and our Native Roots Radio listeners to chat a little bit today is important for me.
So, you want to say it now for people that haven't seen it?
Yeah, sure. So today we announced that I'm actually making an official run for Congressional District 7 here in Minnesota. It's the entire west side of the state. If anybody has ever looked at the map, it's large. You know, CD7 is actually three times the size of Massachusetts. And so it's a lot of ground to cover. But after, you know, just my life, my personal life, my professional life, and my political experience fighting for access to rural healthcare, food sovereignty, food access, you know, education, equity, sex trafficking is bad. You know, all of these things just feel like it's really creators put it in my heart to make a run and make an honest run. You know, if you look at the data out here, a lot of people just write us off like, you know, we're just so Republican and that, you know, no Democrat has a chance. And, you know, that may look true on paper, but I live here and I know these communities and I know the conversations and the pain that we're feeling. And I think that it takes a good candidate, you know, to bring people together. And humbly, I think that I can do that for my side of the state. And so announcing this run is exciting and it's terrifying, but also a really bold move. And Robert, like, you know, I tell my kids a lot to go bold and do beautiful things in this world. And I can't tell my kids that and expect the next generation to do that if I'm not willing to do that myself.
Excellent. And also, I've read the press release and talked about your 5 years as state representative and that's brought you to this point. Can you talk a little bit about that to our audience?
Yeah, so it's been interesting in my path. My very first term, I served as the vice chair of Preventing Homelessness. My second term, I served as the vice chair of Children, Youth, and Family. And now in my third term, I'm the vice chair of Human Services. It's really put me at these tables to make big decisions on how we support our unsheltered neighbors and make sure that everybody has access to a home. When I was serving on Children, Youth, and Family, that's where we did a lot of our SNAP expansion, food access, you know, food shelves, making sure that our rural communities have access to food. And then, you know, sitting on Human Services is where we do a lot of the homeless prevention, Safe Harbor, Youth Homeless Act, Medicaid, Medicare, senior living support, like all of the things that we work so hard at the state to partner with our federal administration to abide by the things that they put into play. And they've just cut our knees out on so many things right now. And we're having real human impact in a lot of areas. And I just feel like it's, you know, it's important to take the experience that I've learned at those tables and be a voice for us at the federal level and building those really great networks, you know, with stakeholders and community within those areas too. I hope that, you know, my liaison style leadership will just bring all of those people and conversations to the bigger tables of conversation that we need to have.
Well, it's beyond party lines. It really is what's happening right now. And we've heard it around the country. So, and I know you've always talked about reaching over on both sides of the table. Talk a little bit about that strategy because you already have that strategy.
Yeah, you know, and I'll say it is never that I am wavering on my core beliefs or like who I am or what I believe in fighting for, but I do really lean into slivers of commonality because I think that there are spaces that all of us can agree we want to do good for our communities. And, you know, I don't believe in running hateful campaigns. I'm not here to criticize, you know, the individuals that sit in these seats right now. I just believe I would do this very, very differently. And yeah, well, I guess we'll sort of leave it at that, right? But like mm-hmm. there's the working across the aisle is good in mm-hmm. times, and we can find good, honest solutions to really big issues when we work together. And I've been able to do that I give the example, Robert, of when we were in the trifecta and I didn't need a Republican to do anything with me, but I chose to, you know, all the bills I brought to the House floor had a lot of Republican support. So much so that, you know, when we passed the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act, we had Republicans speaking in, you know, in favor on behalf mm-hmm. of that, really supporting the good there because we spent the time to educate and build relationship together. And I think we need to see that more. We need to see decision makers working together for the greater good of who they are there to serve.
Absolutely. And I think what's happened this last year, people are more open to that. You know, I have a friend running for in a different state, and I won't talk about that directly, but he said a lot of the Republican GOP are going to support him because of what's going on in Washington and the one-sidedness and not reaching over and working together for the good of people.
Right. And that's not new for me. I mean, I was having Republican supporters from my first race in 2020 mm-hmm. because I was actually caring about if they had food. You know, we were right. calling our elders and making sure in the pandemic they had access to food. And if they didn't, me and my oldest son were heading over to the grocery store, you know, putting groceries in the back and dropping them off at houses. And so we've always been running campaigns and doing this work and like leading with love, but love is an action. And you have to just do that in community. And so, yeah, I mean, this is what we've done. This is what we'll continue to do and hope that we bring a lot of coalition building together with us on our side of the state.
Right. Well, you've always been for feeding our people, rent control and things like that, that are real issues. And we saw what happened out in the mayor's mayor election out in New York. You just were boots on. He was just boots on the ground and listening to what the people wanted. And that's what you do.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll even say, like, I challenge my own party a lot. You know, if you look at a map on where the House representatives sit, I am the blue dot in a massively red sea. Like, I'm the last Democrat in the House past St. Cloud and all up and down the west side of the state. So I've been a voice for this side of the state, you know, ever since I got elected. But it is really interesting because I've challenged my own party a lot. You know, Melissa Hortman and I used to have really honest conversations about, you know, we're a different kind of Democrat out here. We can't just make policies and decisions based on the metro only, that we have an entire rural community that has different needs and has different viewpoints and access needs that we need to be honest about talking about. And so I think one thing I take a lot of pride in is I challenge anybody. It doesn't mean, you know, like, I don't care who's party you're a part of or what you're doing. If I really think we need to do better for our people, I'm not afraid to challenge us in those ways. And I think that's another thing we really need is people within our own party challenging to sharpen our own party for what we believe and not just being complacent on sending the same people back to the same places, because that's what we've always done. Maybe that's just not working for us anymore. And we need everyday people, everyday moms, you know, stepping into this work.
Absolutely. And Heather, before I forget, please, because we're a radio show too, please let everyone know how they can support you and support this big move.
Yeah, Keeler for Congress is our website. Social media, you can find us on all the places. We're up and running. You know, that's what happens when you make the announcement, is all these areas are ready. So it is a big fundraising move, you know, for us to do this work and to pay my staff appropriately. You know, we need to start raising some money right out the gate. One of the things I'm really taking into consideration is we're trying to move a mountain out here, and that's pebble by pebble. And so right now, just looking for 700 people, you know, out the gate that are willing to donate $7 a month reoccurring. Yeah. You know, it feels like I come from poverty. And so I know, you know, having bankrolling this is not an option for me. And I know that $7 a month, you know, can mean a lot to my campaign, and it will go to the good work we're doing. But I also know that means a lot for you at times, you know, and the listeners to be able to give that. And I want it to be really viewed as an investment, you know, doing what's right and being a voice for what we all believe in, and, you know, paying my staff appropriately. I think often in political campaigns, we expect people just to volunteer their time, and I really value people's intellectual property and what they bring to the table. And so early fundraising right now is just to make sure that my staff is well taken care of and that we can build, like I said, this is 3 times the size of Massachusetts. And so we need just to get out and about quickly. And so those donations would be great and would really make a huge impact.
Excellent. $7 is for somebody like me is a cup of coffee a day at an expensive place. KeelerForCongress.com. We got like less than a minute, Heather. Any last thoughts? I really really appreciate you. And I'm really excited, like an uncle going, all right.
Yeah. You know, I guess I just want to say thank you to you. You know, I feel like when I get on here, you know, you always ask me or you always say things to me, but Robert, you've always been, you know, and I don't want to get too emotional, but like you've been in my corner from literally day one, when people just thought it was like the wildest idea for somebody like me to ever even run for the House. You uplifted me. You used this channel and this network to share our truth. And I'm just so grateful for you. I'm grateful for your ongoing support, the things that you and your family, you know, show up and send kind messages in hard times. And that's what family does. And so, you know, I said I'll always come back to my roots because that matters to me. And this is always family. So wopida, and thank you for always being in my corner.
KeelerForCongress.com. Thank you, Representative Heather Keeler, and you're making me cry too. So I appreciate you in this. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
What's up? This is Tool Man.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, I am so excited. I had to bother Bob Blake from Red Lake to come on. He's doing great. He's going to be on the phone here, so it's going to be a little touch and go, but we're going to do the best we can. Bob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me, Robert?
Hear you well, loud and clear. Hey, did you hear the bumper there with Lieutenant Governor? And then today, Bernie Sanders endorsed the Lieutenant Governor here, and I appreciate that.
Oh, wow. I mean, getting the nomination, or getting, you know, supported by Bernie Sanders, Robert, I mean, let's be honest, after what just currently happened up in the Senate, I would say is like, the gold seal of approval by you as senator.
Exactly. Hey, you know, with the before we get too deep in it, I'm kind of thinking, you know, given, you know, Native governance and Native media and community values, some of the implications of what this is happening is, you know, the precedence has been set that could affect future negotiations on issues that matter to Indian country, like, you know, food, funding for tribal programs, SNAP, health care, health subsidized federal employees of Indian country, and et cetera. And now the party seems less firm, and legislative partners and tribal communities may seem reduced leverage. What do you think of that?
Wow, man. Bob Dylan, right? The times, they are a-changing, right?
Right.
I think about all the stuff, Robert, you know, that, you know, we are like, these are treaties. I mean, these are obligations by the federal government. You know, this is contract law, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like, you know, especially in this administration, you know, this is going out the door more and more and more. And, you know, that's a slippery slope, Robert, because I feel like, you know, if you could erode those agreements, if you could erode those protections, you know, those obligations, what can you else erode in the Constitution and to the rest of the country, right?
Yeah.
And so I'd ask everybody that's listening right now to like really just think about that. Like, yeah, you may just think that it may be something that another broken promise to Native people, but I think that the stakes are risen here, and you know that the more that this you know happens, you know, the more that this like takes away from, you know, citizens' rights. Right? I mean, that's where my mind goes with this, Robert.
Well, check it out. So we had this amazing 8 million plus people, you know, No Kings rally. Then we had the Blue Tsunami, you know, this past Tuesday. And then I feel really totally let down by these eight Democrats.
Right. Yes. And it just, you know, it goes back to the other thing too. It's, you know, irregardless if it's the right wing or the left wing, it's the same bird.
Yeah. I always liked that one.
But you know, I mean, I'm sorry, Robert, you know, I really feel like, you know, I mean, Chuck Schumer's got to go. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, like these older, you know, I mean, I'm not older. I guess because look at Bernie, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
He's the best. but I mean, really, folks that you know that I mean are like, you know, standing for the people, right? Like your job is for the people. You know, in Canada, Robert, if they can't come to an agreement. In their government, it actually goes as a vote of no confidence. And there's a special election to recast votes for politicians that won't show up for work. I mean, just like the Republicans pulled the stunt, right?
Yep. Yep.
Like in Canada, that doesn't fly up there. Like if you don't do your job, then like you're not receiving a paycheck and you're going to get voted out. So, I mean, I'm just saying, I think we need to start thinking about things like that, Robert.
Well, check this out. Check this out, Bob. This is from Bernie Sanders. To my mind, this is a very, very, very bad vote. And then a group of defectors consisted of several senators who are retiring next year, as well as a number of former governors. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson of Louisiana praised them Monday morning, saying, "They decided to put principle over personal politics. Give me a break."
Oh, my God. Talk about the, you know, pot calling the kettle black or whatever that is. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that guy right there is the worst. You know, talk about, you know, Mr. Sellout himself, you know. I mean, Robert, you know, here's the point, man. You know, Tina, Amy, you know, they both didn't vote for this, you know. The you know, and I'm telling you, we're coming up on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you're going to keep SNAP benefits away from hungry families in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you want to that whole Congress and Senate would have to turn blue, right?
Yeah.
Look at all the farmers that are poised to lose their farms. 60 Minutes just did this incredible report on farmers this weekend. And talked about how they're looking at losing their family farms.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder who's going to, like, you know who's going to, like, you know, benefit off of this? J.D. Vance's, like, company or something.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, Robert, like, this is all just, like, you know, the grift, right? This is the grift. This is the giant grift. And I'm telling you, we need AOC in there. We need other folks that are going to stand up. I mean, oh my God, I hate to even say this, but Jesus, Marjorie Taylor Greene is actually sounding like she's got some common sense.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, I never thought I'd ever agree with that woman.
Yeah.
But here she's like saying things that are starting to make sense.
Well,
so, I mean, Robert, yeah, we got to get rid of the, you know, this old guard in there. It's got to be a change. This has got to be a new future.
Well, she wants to be reelected for sure. And that's hey, I want to switch gears just for a second before I forget to bring this up. But did you see Trump was at the NFL game in Washington? And he was the first U.S. president to be at a regular season game since Jimmy Carter. And he was booed tremendously. I loved it.
You know, I'm telling you, Robert, you've got planes that you've got air traffic controllers that are going without paychecks. They have to feed their families, Robert. You've got air traffic controllers that are not even showing up for work right now. You know how, you know, I mean, this is danger in the sky. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You've got, like I said, you've got farmers that are poised to lose their farms because of the terrible tariffs that have been put on goods and services, you know, that we send out into these other countries. You've got all these other businesses that are rippling effects. I mean, literally, the stock market, they say, is at an all-time high. It's like six companies that are trading money back and forth. The rest of the companies are all doing layoffs. Target's doing layoffs. Walmart's doing layoffs. Like, you can literally go down to AutoZone, I think, is like preparing for bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, Robert. This is ridiculous. I mean, we need to make a change. And it goes back to George Stephanopoulos and the other guy, the Raging Cajun. And it's like, it's the economy, stupid. And that's right. What's going to be showing its ugly face here very, very soon.
Exactly. And it's interesting, too. I want to correct you a little bit on Target. Is I really believe that the mass, I haven't been to Target since we went, had the big protest about how they, when they changed their DEI going on there. And I haven't been back since, and I haven't missed it.
Yeah, no. I actually, Robert, I moved over to Costco. And yeah. when I found out that Costco was like, you know, like trying to create affordable housing, they were like, they're paying a livable wage. And I used to walk through Costco and I was like, well, you know, all these employees are really happy. That's pretty cool. And come to find out that they're actually making a livable wage. And then when you look at, the SNAP benefits and where those workers work on, they work at Walmart. They work at Wendy's. They right. work at all these places that, are like, they're not paying a livable wage to these workers. You know what I mean, Robert?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I've been going to Costco. that's where Solar Bear goes now, and yeah. I'm enjoying it.
You know, it's funny. The 60 Minutes thing, I kind of felt like, you know, the farmers were still not convinced. They were saying that Trump has a kind of a good idea. He's really smart, so maybe he can pull this through, but right now they need help. But Trump's not smart, and he's not there for you. And like you said, these big corporations, these factory farming, are going to try and take over the mom-and-pa farm again. This is the last big push. And, when you control food and money, food and water and things like that, you control a lot.
Right. And you know, Robert, that brings up to a very good point here, is that, you know, when you looked at what this administration was doing, they were using food as a weapon. This
yes.
is another tactic that was used by the Third Reich, right?
Yep.
Like, they used food as a weapon. And, you know, boy, Stephen Miller and his policies and his initiatives, I'm going to tell you right now, man, is literally destroying the Republican Party.
Yeah, that's
and,
good.
And, you know, so, I mean, if that's who they're going to put all of their breads in one basket or whatever, you know what I'm saying, whatever that saying is, then, I mean, good enough for them. If you don't get what you want, you're going to get what you deserve. And I see a blue tsunami happening in 2026.
That's hope so. And I'll tell you, too, you know, I love this meme that I saw, is that, you know, Nixon didn't go to jail. His attorney general did, though.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And there was there's a piece Steve Bannon, you know, was talking to a bunch of supporters. Right.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about how, hey, some of us are going to go to jail. And I'll tell you this, Robert, I'll tell you this right now. That's what's going to have to happen.
Yes.
Like, this is unacceptable. Boy, some black or brown person was doing this, man, they'd have him hung up on the front of the Capitol lawn. You know what I mean?
You got
like, I'm just saying, man, this has got to stop, America. What's fair is fair and what's right is right. And that's not what's happening right now.
Right
on. And that's not right.
Hey, right on. So, we're with Bob Blake from Red Lake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News. Hey, Bob, can you hold on? And we'll finish up this conversation, then talk just a little bit about the Vikings. Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Hey, Native Roots Radio will be right back.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Bobby Wilson. Wicha.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Programming on KFAI is supported by the Bell Museum, presenting Curious Allies, exploring relationships in fungi, parasites, and carnivores, an exhibition about plants and the relationships that sustain them. On view September 27th, artwork of fungi, lichens, and plants submitted by artists from around the world. Visitors are invited to explore their inner illustrator with opportunities to draw real specimens in the gallery. Exhibit details at bellmuseum.umn.edu.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we have our friend Bob Blake from Red Lake, Robert Blake with the Solar Bear with the Solar News. Hey, Robert, thanks for this discussion. I really, really needed to talk to somebody.
Yeah, no problem, Robert. I think we all needed to talk to somebody after seeing what came out of Washington.
Exactly.
I think we were all kind of like wondering, like, what are they drinking today? What are they doing today? Why are they doing this?
Well,
as soon as I saw it, I couldn't help but think, Robert, stupid.
Well, hey, they're still getting paid. They still have their health care, and they're doing just fine here, lording over the people.
Well, yeah, and Robert, like, I don't agree with Luigi, right? I don't agree with that.
Right.
But what I do understand, though, is that there are people that are going to die because they can't afford their health care premiums in this country, okay? So mm-hmm. when you think about it, what is the difference? You know, one is legal and one is not legal?
Mm.
I mean, that was the point of his actions. You know, he even wrote it on the bullet, but my point being, though, is like, who needs $50 million? That's what that CEO was getting a year, that right. United Healthcare. You know what I mean? Like, who needs $50 million? Can you spend $50 million in a year, Robert?
No.
It's like Billie Eilish said in one of her things.
Yeah.
She says, do you need to be a billionaire? Do you need to be a trillionaire? Like, what is that? So I think that, you know, I'm just starting to see that, you know, we need to start getting our values back together. You
yeah.
know what I mean? In this country, because like that is ridiculous. That is a ridiculous amount of money. And, you know, Robert, and to my point, like people need health care. People need. And here's the other thing I don't like about the Republicans either is they always say we've got something better. Oh, we've got another plan coming.
Yeah.
And it never happens.
Right.
It never happens. And the biggest recipient of the Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act were red states.
Yes.
Like they were like in states that didn't even vote for Democrats. Like they were the ones that were receiving the benefit the most. And so it's just, you know, I'm going to go back to Socrates, right?
Yeah.
Socrates, the father of democracy, hated democracy because he said that if you get people that don't know, because voting is a skill. There's a skill set in voting. And when you get a bunch of people that don't have that skill, we're likely to put people in charge that don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's happening right now. Or people that are being, you know, compromised or are compensated. Right. And,
yeah.
and that's, you know, that's exactly what's happening, you know, in our politics. So, you know, we've got to bring this back, Robert. We're going to have an opportunity here in 2026. And we need folks like, you know, AOC
yeah.
and Bernie to really just pound the media, you know, because the media has been bought and purchased now.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I was just going to bring that up. That's a really good point. They have really let us down. They've normalized this insanity. They're afraid. CBS has bowed down to them again. This was kind of a softball interview, and the interview the week before with the orange one was a really bad interview, and they never asked him about, you know. Well, and hopefully the only thing good about them getting the government back is that they can swear that one lady in, and then they can release the Epstein files. But again, they'll be retracted. They'll pretend they're not there. So there's people, you know, that are MAGA that are running these things, and I just hope that, you know, they're not going to be running the voting machines. You know, I know a lot of MAGAs bought voting machines over this time here too. So we just need to talk about it. Like, you're on the air tonight talking about it, and you know, the shows prior to this and after this talk about this. And you know, the mainstream media has always been shady, but they've really, really failed us, and I blame a lot of this on them.
And Robert, who would have thought, right? Like, boy, when did we start this? 7, 8 years ago, whatever, when we and I were hanging out there at Eden Prairie. I mean, who would ever thought that this piece of information, this independent show that you have, right, was going to turn into something very, very important, like now, right? Democracy. This is one of the pillars of democracy. You know, having free and informed information. You know, and independent, right, of all of the distractions out here. And so, you know, when you think about this, Robert, when you think about what's happening right now, now more than ever, we need independent media. We need strong media. And if we get that piece that crumbles, you know, we're going to slowly into a dictatorship.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, one thing that these Republicans have been saying. They've been talking about it out loud. They've been saying that the world is too complicated right now, and we need one person to make the decisions for all of us. Wow. Wow. What does that spell, Robert?
Hey,
you know what I mean?
Nina, one of our listeners that listened to us on Facebook, I do believe it's Facebook that she's on, but we're on Blue Sky and YouTube and Facebook. She said, I don't think people realize the difference between 1 million and 1 billion. And I agree with that. When you see the statistics on what's a million, what's a billion, it's unbelievable. And again, what you were talking about, you know, these people that are so rich, they're hoarders. It's just as bad as going into a house full of stuff. Ooh. It's like they're hoarders.
Well, this goes back to Reaganomics, right? This goes back to, that whole trickle-down theory, which never, ever worked. And it's been proven time and time again, right, that it never worked. And so, you know, I totally get that, and I totally understand that. And like I said, we still don't have this democracy, everyone. And you, all of, each and every one of us signed that individual social contract, right? You know, secret social contract with one another, you know, to participate in this democracy. And it is a living, breathing mechanism. And we got to continue to like fight for it and feed it and, you know, take care of it. And that's why we need good people that are running for office. We need people that are out here that are going to be able to, you know, just basically do the right thing. And I, Robert, I just don't think that that's too hard. That's too much to ask for everything that we've been given here. I mean, think about all the freedoms we have in this country. Think of all the things that we get to do. Everyone, that is at risk if we allow that to be handled by one person, by one party, by one group of individuals.
Hey, I'm reading something here. I heard the other day that 13 inches of $100 bills is $1 million. And then one Washington Monument height of a $100,000 bills is $1 billion.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know, it just boggles the mind, Robert, where we are and how we let this get this far. And, you know, we've got to take our country back. That needs to be the motto. We got to take our country back, and we're not going to do it, you know, on the present course in which we are. You know, we are looking probably at a recession.
Yeah.
And Robert, let's look at this now. Everyone, like, you know, we're probably not, maybe not a depression, okay? But we're going to get pretty close, probably, close to where we're at, because there are mechanisms, there are safeguards in the stock market. You know, Robert, there's the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission.
Yeah.
That was never there in 1929.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there are all these different mechanisms. There, the banks have to hold a certain amount of money in their account if they're going to be, you know, out thrifting with, you know, the other folks. You know what I mean?
Hey, Bob. So, we only got five seconds. Can I just say this? Vikings stink.
Packers tonight, Robert. Packers, Monday Night Football.
Right on. Hey, Peeny Geeky, thank you so much, Bob, for coming on. I really needed you, and people needed to hear you. Thank you so much.
Yep. Have a good one, Robert.
We'll be back tomorrow. Peeny Geeky again for listening to Native Roots Radio.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
The gin and tonic?
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic,
oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
It's a gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting.